Sandra.
Hello, Tom.
The idea was that perhaps I could tell you something about integral healthcare.
Yes.
And integral healthcare is an idea I came up with at the moment that I started medical school. But before that, I didn't know that I already had that idea. Because when I was in engineering school, I found myself picking up books on medical understanding, while I did not quite understand why I was doing that. So I collected that kind of information, but I was not aware that later on I would start to study medicine. So for me it was much more of looking at phenomena, processes in nature, as described by scientists, and looking at different aspects of it. For example, there is a Horton formula of the branching of rivers, which is actually the same as that for the branches of trees and the branching of lightning. Also what we see in the arteries. I was not aware of that. I simply was aware that the models of science seem to describe things very neatly and very accurately and worked very well, until later on I realized that that was not quite a complete description. That's also why I went into medical school, and the first week of medical school I realized that what was being presented there was actually not working, because what they pointed out to me was exactly what I had learned in engineering school. But the reason I went to medical school is because I understood that the notion as presented in engineering school is incomplete. It is about predictability of, let's call it, dead matter. And it does not account for what we addressed in the previous conversation, freedom of choice. So I had to reflect on what I was learning in health care, medical school, and I had to, in my mind at least, get it out of that conditioning or confinement or conviction of being material only. The story of freedom of choice helped to resolve that. And the story of freedom of choice actually shows how it works and how body, mind, soul and spirit are all connected. That it is in fact a relationship between anatomy, physiology, the regulatory system and the information integration system, which is essentially the connection between physics, chemistry, electromagnetism and informatics. But that came together in integral healthcare in a bit of a different sense, because I suddenly realized that integral healthcare is simply the synthesis of the different aspects of world healing. And that is the core of the story which I would like to tell you now. That world healing is essentially all forms of healing as has been developed by all the world cultures. And in my mind, I simplify it to the West, the East, the Far East, and the Far West. As you already know, by looking into the dynamics of boundary conditions, I understood that the dynamic of a boundary is that of a phase change. A boundary is a place where a phase reflects. The absence of a boundary is where a phase does not reflect. So if you hit a ball against the wall, then it will bounce back to you. If somebody takes the ball away, it will not bounce back to you. So a boundary is phase reflection. Absence of the boundary is no phase reflection. So I already knew that. And I already knew that this is also what we see in science. Then it's called system theory, the relationship between state, process, transformation and information. And that is what I saw in these forms of world healing. The West looks at the material perspective and bases itself on anatomy. In system theory, you would call that the system of state. In alchemy, you would call that the element earth. In the medical domain, the East looks at the physiology, which in system theory would be called the level of the process, and in alchemy would be called the element of water. The Far East, with the marine system, is looking at the level of the regulation, system regulation, which is what in system theory you would call the transformation, and which in alchemy would be called air. The deepest level is that of the Far West, which would be the level of consciousness. In system theory, that would be the information. In alchemy, that would be element fire. So suddenly I had this notion that humanity as a whole is one organism, and that all of the cultures within humanity are, let's call it, organs within the organism. And also that every human is a cell in the body of humanity. So when I hear people talk about there's too many people on Earth, I don't believe that, because we have more cells in our body than there are people on Earth. The difference is that if you compare humanity to our body, we are either in an embryologic shape state of in the transition between the embryo to the fetus. It's a kind of hectic, undefined state, and you cannot really see forms, but you can see that something is forming. Or if you look at the level of human development, I would consider that humanity is at the moment at the level of puberty. Specifically, the West seem to be stuck in puberty. So they haven't yet realized that they need to respect other people and other cultures and other life forms as much as they want to be respected themselves. And once that happens, I can foresee that people will be able to live together in a different way. They will realize that each of them is, let's say, an ambassador for humanity, and that all of them will treat each other with respect, and other life forms likewise, the earth likewise. And that is contained within this notion of integral healthcare, because the four world cultures are different in the perspective that they take on life. So the West is very much looking at domination and control, and it has a mechanistical, materialistic model. Their medical model is associated with and identified with the body anatomy. They look at the body anatomy and they think that they can measure it, and they think they can fix it with essentially knife and fork, thread and needle. So for them, if something is wrong in the body, you fix it by restoring the picture of the body to what it needed to be according to the book. This is also the book-based belief system of some religions. The West definitely abides by that. However, if we look in the body, we can see that the body anatomy is the consequence of the physiology. So whatever has happened at the level of the body, yes, you could fix it, but you could also ask, well, what happened at the level of the physiology that the body suddenly started to grow things or not grow things, or change its coherence in one way or redefine its coherence in another way? And that's where the East has a very explicit form of medicine, which is called Ayurveda, the knowledge of life, which is essentially about the physiology. So they look at the physiology of the body, and they look at the level of body processes, but they are very well aware that the processes in the body cannot be seen as separate from the environment. Where the Western medical doctor thinks that you can pop in a pill and it'll fix it, in the East they realize that if there is something lacking in the body or in excess of the body, it's because you've been eating or not eating something which would be, over the millions of years of human development, part of our normal natural diet. So in the East, they look for the nutritions in the environment. They actually look at the relationship between the internal food chain and the external food chain. And the internal food chain for us is what's called the cycle of the organs, or the blood cycle between the organs. It is also, in a more biological, biochemical form, known as the metabolomes. And it is very well described by Bert Verveen as the feed-forward feedback cycle between the organs. Actually, it was Bert Verveen who opened the possibility for me to define this in such an explicit manner that we can see that, no, it's not about the body anatomy as the West believes or depicts or deals with, but it's actually about the physiology as it is regarded and worked with in the East. Because at that level you can see that the feed forward and the feedback loops between the cells and between the organs, they need to match up. Bert Verveen described how the lack of matching up between the feed forward and feedback loops between the organs would lead to diseases of excess and diseases of deficit. Because evidently, if you have a cycle going out to the other cell as the feed-forward cycle and it's too large, then it goes out of reach of the other cell, and it gets the materials that are communicated to the other cell are in excess. But on the other hand, if it is not enough of the feed-forward loop, then it would be deficit. And Bert Verveen identified that whatever disease there is in the body, there will be an opposite form of it, because always there is a disease of excess and a disease of deficit. So if there is an excess of a hormone, there can be a deficit of the hormone as well, and so on. So in his approach, every disease is always based on the disturbance between the feed-forward and the feedback loop at the level of physiology. But it also means that the rectification, the remedy for the disease, is that the feed-forward and the feedback loops must be matched again. And that is what is done with Ayurveda and in a different form in the traditional Chinese medical herbal remedy approach. Again, it is the physiological cycle of the food chain outside of us that is reconnected to the food chain within us, as a result of which the external and the internal food chain can be reconnected. And the best way to describe that is in the form of a Möbius loop, which is a lemniscate, which is a figure eight form. So if you look at it in that sense, then Western medicine looks at the body as a closed system, let's call it a circle. And Eastern medicine looks at the body as part of a Möbius loop, of which the environment is the other half of the process. Actually, in physics, this would be meant by a half spin versus whole spin. So the cycle in the body is only half the cycle, so that's a half spin. The cycle in the environment would be the other half spin. So therein you can see that the medicine of the East very much complements the medicine of the West. The medicine of the West is the anatomy, the medicine of the East is the physiology. And then if you look one level deeper, then you can see that the physiology is actually based on the balance between the feed forward and the feedback of these cells, just as Bert Verveen has described. But then at the deeper level you can see that the balance between the food forward and the feedback outside of the cells is actually based on the internal balance within the cells. And that has been described by Hans C. Lai, as some people would say it, because that's how it's written. And he is the man who got very well known because of his description of the system of stress. The system of stress is actually the system of body regulation. It is the electromagnetic system. It uses hormones and neurons for its calibration of the balance between the internal and the external process, not just of the body in the landscape, but also of the organ in the body and the cell in the organ, and thus of the cell in the landscape. So Hans Schley was looking at this level of cell regulation, and the example that he used was the relationship between the corticosteroids and their role in inflammation in the body. And as he describes very nicely, it is the relationship between the glucocorticosteroids and the mineralocorticosteroids. The glucocorticosteroids from glucose or glucogens are the sugar-based corticosteroids, and they are actually part of the plant system, and like plants use sugars in a lot of their creation. And so the cellulose, which forms the root of the plant, and the starches that form most of the structure of the plant, the sugars in the flowers of the plant and the leaves of the plant, and then the etheric oils emanating from the flowers of the plant, they're actually one system of preserving the integrity in the plant. And so the glucocorticosteroids are part of that principle. The other part of that principle is the mineralocorticosteroid, and as the name already indicates, this is where it goes back to the mineral system. So in the alchemical terminology, it would be element earth, or it would be the rock-based approach, the earth itself, because in our body we have these four levels of the mineral level, of which is part of earth, the vegetative level, which is like a plant, the animal level, which is like the territorial animal, and the human level, which is a consciousness level, which, by the way, you find in every kind of animal. But so there are these four levels of, say, the mineral, the plant, the animal, and the conscious being, and they all have their corresponding molecules and hormones and messaging in the neural system and radio signals. So Hans Schley described how this works in the creation of inflammation in the body, or the repression of inflammation in the body. So when doctors give people corticosteroids, they actually interact with that corticosteroid regulation system. And there you can see that the corticosteroids, the adrenal system, is based on the redefinition of the boundary of the system. It dissolves it, as you would have in an inflammation, or it affirms it, as you would have in an inflammation antagonist. So when doctors give an inflammation antagonist, they basically undo the effect of the body in trying to dissolve the internal boundaries, and in that sense refreeze the boundaries. And that's also how Chinese medicine looks at the effect of the corticosteroids. So at that level you see that the body is actually redefining the boundaries, and that is the more fundamental meaning of the work of Hans Schley, that in the body all of the cells are able to loosen up the relationship between them, so they go more apart or more fluid in the way they connect to each other, or they can quite literally solidify the contact between them so that the relationship between them is more rigid, less fluid, more dried out, so to say. And that happens from the level of the cells, as Hans Schley describes it. It's the level of the corticosteroid regulation, but actually it's the level of every hormone system, every endocrine, every neurosynaptic release, every cell molecular emission. At all levels we see that the relationship between the feed forward and the feedback is changed, the affirmation of the relation is strengthened, or it is weakened, and that is the level of system regulation, which is addressed by the Far East and the meridian, and also the homeopathic system of body regulation. The metaphor which is often given for that is that our body is like a landscape. And as Eastern medicine shows, the landscape needs to have the irrigation from the outer world. The water needs to flow into the farmer's land so that the cells, the plants have food to root. If the water level is too high, you need to do something about it. If the water level is too low, you need to do something about it. Again, those are the diseases of excess and deficit. And where the Indian system looks more at, okay, how do we reconnect the internal to the cycle, to the external cycle? What is the equivalent of what happens inside of us to what we can eat or experience from in the outside world? The Chinese model is more into how do we operate the sluice between the farmland and the river? How do we make sure that the sluice is open so that more can flow in? Or that in time we close the sluice so that it doesn't flow in or it doesn't flow out? So they are operating that system of regulation, which is described by Hans Schley. And essentially, what they describe is the crossing point of the Möbius loop between the outer and the inner circulation with which the Indian system works when they work with the physiology of connecting the external and the internal food chain. The Chinese medicine makes use of this connectedness between the inside and the outside on the basis that within our body we have a immense amount of regulatory systems, such as the mouth and the anus, such as the valves in our gut system, of which the valve in the appendix is one. So for example, in the Chinese system, if somebody has an appendicitis, in the Chinese understanding, that would be a spasm of the muscle of the appendix. So they have a point on the back by which they can release the spasm of the muscle of the sphincter of the appendix. The microbes which are sequestered, which are stored, which are kept safe in the appendix for the case that diarrhea has wiped out all of the microbes in the body. There needs to be a safe harbor where the microbes can stay. So they can stay in the appendix, but yeah, if the appendix isn't regulated properly, it has a spasm, the microbes keep on growing, they start to burst the appendix. Rather than cut the appendix and get rid of this safe haven for the microbes, the Chinese said, okay, we need to open the sluice. They prick the point, the spasm in the appendix is released, and the problem has been resolved. In this way, it is very much like what you would have in a car, where the system of the distributor. This is a rotor which goes around, makes electrical contact with as many points as there are cylinders in the car, so that it can time the spark discharge in the cylinders. And evidently, if it's a bit too soon or a bit too late, then the burning of the fuel in the cylinders of the car will not work well. And so it is important in a car to have that attunement correct. And that's what acupuncturists do. They synchronize the timing of the various processes in the body. They do that on the basis of the understanding that our first cell, when it grows, it creates tree-like structures because it extends in all directions. But it also creates circle-like structures because it can contain itself within itself. So that within our body we at the same time have a circulatory system, which is essentially the animal system of the internal circulation of the climate, the landscape within us. And there is also the fractal, the tree-like system of the vegetative system, of the arteries, the veins, the lymph, the neurons, and so on. So the Chinese system realizes that the crossing point between this extension of the fractal plant-like growth and the containment of the circulation of the animal system growth are attuned within our body, and that our body has an immense system of information circulation by which these processes are attuned. So the acupuncture system has found ways to identify the specific points of contact with the environment by which we can regulate our connectedness to the environment. So by these systems we can redefine our integration within our environment and can reset, just as you would use the term in a computer, our connectedness. So by doing a reset, acupuncture is able to speed up one of the organs in the organ circulation. I mentioned it at another time. The cycle of the organs is the same as the zodiac, which is the same as the gods of antiquity, which is the same as the deities of the East, which basically means that every organ is a principle of resetting the boundary of our body within our environment. We can close the boundary, we can open the boundary, but all of these organs together form one loop. The blood is there in the indicator of the integrative factor, and all of the organs together form that internal cycle of the Möbius loop, and the other side is the environment of nature with the seasons that we live in. At the crossing point between them, we can regulate that. And that's not just a crossing point of the Möbius loop of the internal organ circulation and the food chain outside of us, but it's also the Möbius loop of one organ and the next organ, or the previous organ. So there's Möbius loops within all of them. But we also see these Möbius loops, these lemniscate figure 8 circulation cycles, in the link between one cell which has not yet divided and a cell that has divided. So this this lemniscate figure 8 principle is where we see that the cell cycle of the first cell is then turned into the feed forward and feedback loop of the two cells that came out of that first cell by cell replication. The cell division equals the cell multiplication. And as I mentioned before, when we look at the level of the cell cycle as a loop, as a closed circle, that would be the Western approach. At the moment that we look at the continuity between the two ensuing cells with the feed forward and feedback loop between them, and then we look at the level of the Möbius loop of the Indian, the Eastern form of healthcare. But when we look at the transition from the circle to the lemniscate, when we look in the crossing point, which is also the midpoint of that first circle, then we are actually dealing with the system of regulation, which is operated by the Far East, with the meridian system on the one hand and the homeopathy system on the other hand. Cyril Smith has shown that the system of homeopathy and the system of acupuncture are actually part of the same system. They correspond with, as he called, the postal delivery of letters for the hormones, and the telegraph or telephone communication for the neurons. But both of them are electromagnetic systems. When in the Western world they want to know what kind of molecule they can find in any substance, they use a principle called radio spectrometry, or spectral analysis. They look for the radio electromagnetic field of the molecule and identify which frequencies of which atoms can be found in that. So they're not actually measuring the physical or the chemical properties of the molecule, but they look at the electromagnetic spectrum, the electromagnetic signature, which is, let's call it properly, the radio wave melody of that molecule. So every molecule is the carrier of a radio signal. Homeopathy is able to store that radio signal off the molecule in a different substance. Most often they use water, and otherwise they're able to use evaporated water to imprint the wave pattern on a susceptible material such as sugar. If you've ever walked by the beach, then you can see that in the sand you can see the ripples of the last waves which were there before the tide went out. There are many materials which have the property that they can store information in that manner, and homeopathy makes use of that. So in homeopathy, they store a radio signal or an information field in matter in the same way that people would store information on a floppy disk or on a CD-ROM, a DVD, and so on. The carrier of the information is not important. It is the information. You don't get the CD or the DVD because you want to have a little bit of plastic in the home, but you get it because you would like to have the information of the music performance which is on there, or the information transfer of the lecture or the movie or whatever is on it. Homeopathy works with that. So in homeopathy you can give the cells the information of a specific setting of the cells within their environment, and most often the homeopath is able to detect what kind of aberrations going on in the body, what is going on too much, what's going on too little, where is it too physical, where is it too mental, where is there a disturbance in the social, where is there a disturbance in the ecological. A homeopathic doctor is able to detect the pattern of dysfunctionality and then provides the body with a carrier which has that same kind of dysfunctionality implied with it. So it could be the information of, say, arsenic and a kind of aloof pattern which comes out of that because of the response to the poisoning. In this case, you don't need the poison, you only need the information of the poison, because you don't need to interact with the chemistry of the body. That's never what happens. Whatever a physical doctor does with the body physically, or whatever a pharmaceutical approach does on the chemistry of the body, is always irrelevant, because the foundation of it is always how cells respond and how cells change the way they function, just as Hans Selye described. And that is what Eastern medicine does. And it uses the two approaches. I just described the homeopathy. You give the cell information of the disturbance, so the cell knows that this is what's going on. It can account for that. As a result, it in a way can, let's call it, digest the pattern of disturbance and can renormalize its functioning. Basically, it addresses information which has been stored in the body, and our traumatic life experiences are stored in the body in that manner. When you look for it, you can find it, you release it, and the disease evidently will seem to go worse, because the disease is now integrated into the digestive system again and then can be eliminated from the body. It's no longer blocking the body and no longer causing these disturbances. So that is the information circulation level of body repair in the regulatory system. The other part is the intake and output of information in the body. So that's the in and outgoing flow, which is regulated through the sphincter system, these muscles that can contract and release. That is where the acupuncture interacts with the body. It basically has an interplay with the phase rhythm of calibration of the muscles. As you know, every cell has a cell cycle. Muscle cells have their pulsations. The heart has its heartbeat. The lung has the lung rhythms. Everything in the body that's alive has a pulsation. And so if the pulsation is not tuned, then acupuncture can look for a way to retune it. It doesn't look for the notes that are being played by the organ, but it looks by the carrier waves by which the organs are connected. They all share a cycle, which is at the deeper level of vibration. And in that cycle, if you can achieve a phase shift, then the way the organs surf on top of that cycle can recalibrate. You can restore the rhythm of the cycle between the organs, as a result of which all of the organs can find their own rhythm again. And that is based on the information communication of the electromagnetic communication between the organs, because all of the cells communicate using molecules, which are chemical, which are electromagnetic, which are a form of information, four levels. So in the same way organs communicate at four levels, the body communicates with itself at four levels, and we communicate with the environment around us at those four levels: physical, chemical, electromagnetic, and informatic. All these levels are connected because when you look at the physics behind it, the whole universe is an electromagnetic field in which a photon jump between atoms will create an electron jump within an atom, which can create an electron oscillations linking two atoms, which can connect to electron bonding fixating two atoms. So that's how we go from information to electromagnetism to chemistry to physics, or to go from information to electromagnetism to electron flow to electron bonding in matter. So the Chinese medicine works at that level of the interaction between the magnetic and the electric, which is basically the internal electric information and the external electric information, which would be called magnetic. And at that level, there is something which in physics is called the isovector field. It is the pulsation rhythm, the carrier wave of the processes within the body. So once you can interact with that, then you can reset the balance of the organs and the cells within the body. And it is a bit like the concert director with a stick, or tapping the stick, is able to have some parts of the body go faster or slower, and is able to tell some of the organs which are too loud or too silent to renormalize their behavior, but is also able to in instances stop the musician from playing or even stop the whole orchestra from playing so that they can catch up and join back in the same rhythm. This is a project which I elaborate with Hank Coy in what's called Mathemusics. Can we use music to describe the communication between cells in our body? And yes, we can. And that's what acupuncture is doing. So they are able to regulate the crossing point between the inner and outer circulation by retuning the sphincters in the body so that the organs can become symphonic and harmonic again in the music that they play together. And the counterpart of that is that you can use homeopathy to inform cells in the body selectively about problems which exist elsewhere in the body, so that the cells can help each other to resolve that. So that makes the medicine of the Far West regulatory healthcare, and essentially it works in the electromagnetic system of redefining the system boundary of the body as a whole within the environment. So it's always based on the environment, and acupuncture also knows that, that there are very specific cases where you need to have the right moment of the day, the right moment of the month, the right season in the year, to be able to reconnect the rhythms in the body so that they match the environment again. So we've now gone from the Western medicine, which is, say, anatomical, to the Eastern medicine, which is, say, physiological, to the Far Eastern medicine, which is, say, regulatory, electromagnetic. And now we can come to the Far West, which for me includes all of the shamanic or spiritual forms of healing. Those are the forms of healing which do not use materials. They might use symbols, they might use stories or images or social relationships, but what they really work with is the information by which we function, because they work with the most fundamental level of processing in our body, which is at the level of the information processing, which is where we will always have the interplay between our self image and the world image. You can also call it between the rear brain and the front brain. And so this is the level of healing which operates at the level of the pineal gland. Likewise, you could say that the medicine of the Far East is working off at the pituitary gland level. The medicine of the East is working with the organ gland level, and the medicine of the West is working with the cellular level. All of these connect, but the connection, the origin of their connectedness, lies in the information field, because always the cells will have their own information processing. Every cell is alive, it has its own consciousness, it has its own awareness, it will do its own communication and thereby interact with the other cells. As cells can listen to what other cells say, they cannot tell other cells what to do. They can communicate what they are doing in the form of a light signal, a radio signal, a chemical signal, or a physical molecule release, but they cannot force another cell to do anything with that. They can give the principle of generosity, but they cannot demand the principle of greed. So the shamanic or spiritual healing is always based on restoring the balance between the self and the non-self. So the most basic form of healing therein is that people need to know that when they go to sleep, they go through the sleep cycle, which is basically the transition from the West to the East, to the Far East, to the Far West. The West is the material with, let's say, the environment, the physical environment. The East is the physiological, which is the digestion of food and information. There's also the dreams and the decisions that we take in how we relate to the environment. The Far East works at a deeper level of how the attunement takes place between the organs and how we re-identify ourselves in relationship to the environment. And the Far West looks at the information that we have about ourselves and how it relates to the information that we have of the environment. So most often diseases are caused by an experience which doesn't compute for the body. It could be a food which is incompatible with the way the body can digest it, or it can be, let's start at the western part, it could be a traumatic experience, somebody having an accident, as a result of which the body gets such a shock that it doesn't know how to recover as yet. Then it can be food which is incompatible to the body. It can be an interaction between the self and the non-self, which is suddenly backfiring, as a result of which the regulatory system cannot process it well. But the basis of it is always that there is a discrepancy between your self-image and the world image. So in the shamanic approach, which is the spiritual healing approach, which is the approach of information integration, it always comes back to releasing all the preconceptions that you have. And a part of this has been described in the story on freedom of choice. So when you release all these preconceived ideas, you basically let go of the environment, which is what all the mystical schools describe, and which is also why meditation as medication is such an important remedy in so many religions. So when you disconnect from the environment, you can look at the beliefs that you hold on the environment, and you will see that there is a series of emotional responses to those beliefs that you hold. And most often you will discover that a lot of those emotional responses do not feel well. So actually you would prefer to not have them. And at some point you might realize that these incompatible feelings or emotions are the result of a specific fixation that you have about something, so that actually your belief is holding your back in experiencing your own health. It is as if you're still trying to digest something which is indigestible. And then by the practice of meditation, you can suddenly see that you're holding on to something which actually is not existing in the present. So why would you need to hold on to it? So if you let go of it, your body can let go of it, your body regulation can go of it, and your body consciousness can let go of it and replace it by something else. So that is what's happening in the healing of the Far West. So the Far West is the spiritual healing. It works with information integration. The Far East is the regulatory healthcare, which works with the electromagnetic attunement of the body. In the East, they work with the body physiology, which is the connection of the internal and the external process. And the West looks at the body as an identity in itself, a physical structure composed by, say, the law of dead matter. In my perspective, all these fours are just as correlated as the anatomy, the physiology, the regulatory system, and the information system. So that means that the four forms of world healthcare together actually address the four aspects of our body functioning, which means that we can look at them as if they're separate, but we can also look at them as the four different aspects of our body. At the material level or the chemical level with the processes in time, the energy level with the electromagnetic transformations of the conditioning and environment, and the information level where the integrity of the identity and integration with the environment is the basis of what we are. So in that sense, I look at these forms of world healing as the tools in a toolkit. Just as you would need a bricklayer and a carpenter and a plumber and an electrician to build a house, and you use all four of them to maintain the house, and likewise you need all forms of healthcare to maintain the body. But the body, however, shows that the anatomy is the consequence of the physiology, that physiology is regulated by the regulatory system, and the regulatory system gets its information from the information integration process. So that means that, and that's also the key to integral healthcare, that it makes sense to start with the information integration. If somebody is sick, first look at what happened in their reality as a result of which the information of the self and the information of the non-self is no longer computing. There is an internal conflict, and there must be internal conflict, because otherwise the regulatory system would have preserved the integrity of the identity within the environment. If there is disease, that has not happened. So you must go back to the starting point. What happened in your world image, which has been affected by your self-image? In other words, your self-image started to interfere with the world image. You interfered with the reality that you have. You were no longer perceiving reality as it is, but you started to fill it in, as a result of which you mistook yourself for a non-self. You start to bump into the environment instead of being part of it. And so the spiritual healing has a whole series of techniques. Most of them are based on the chains of realization, by whichever manner, as a result of which you can restore the integrity of your identity. Not as yourself separate from the universe, but as yourself being part of the universe and of humanity. And so sometimes that would be just storytelling, and many of the religions had the Sufis, the Jews, the Gypsies, the all religions have their fundamental stories. Their so-called holy books are examples of such stories, which are meant to be a prototype or an archetype of, okay, now if you think about it as such, then perhaps you would have less problems in your environment. In specific cases, the shamanic healer would actually address beliefs that you have and translate the ideas which you have in your head or your mind or your body in terms of, okay, if you would look at your animal nature, then what's going on? So which totem animals or which animal characteristics and behavior would actually reflect what's going on here? Most often they do it the other way around. That person you're interacting with, what kind of animal would you imagine that one to be? And of course, if you understand that animal, then you interact with it corresponding to the properties and characteristics of that animal. So if somebody behaves like a weasel, treat him like a weasel. If somebody behaves like a rat, treat him like a rat. If somebody behaves like a horse, treat him like a horse. Not because that human is a horse, but that human has animal reflex and instincts patterns which we would more closely identify with those animals. And what you seek is to have a better understanding of the other, and that often requires to understand the process and proton pattern of the other. So it could also be that the shamanic approach looks at it as herbs, because every herb grows in the environment. On the one hand, it stands in the earth and the water of the earth. On the other hand, it stands in the air and the light of the atmosphere. So every plant in its way is a connector between specific biotope and a specific climate. So there too you can find keys to help people understand that there is a way to interact with a specific kind of situation, which might be different from the one that they last used as a result of which they got into the problems. So shamanic healing has a series of techniques: shifting consciousness, shifting relationships, shifting appreciation of the environment, shifting definition of the self, as a result of which the fixation which people got, most often the decision that people took, can be released and replaced by something else, as a result of which the problem goes away. And that then is called miracle healing. So that would be the starting point for any therapeutic process, that a mental, psychological, spiritual soul resets take place, as a result of which the integrity of the identity can be restored. The second level of healing then deals with resetting the boundary so that it can regain its connection into the environment. And that is done by a whole series of techniques, for which acupuncture is the best known. As I mentioned, homeopathy is a counter form of that. Acupuncture works with the cables, and homeopathy works with the signal. Both of them are antenna signals, radio signals in their form. So in acupuncture, you work with the regulation of the points of contact of the body and mind in the environment. And you can reset that. So the second form of treatment would be to reset those, to make sure that the body is actually connecting to the environment in a proper way. And a very elegant way of using the acupuncture knowledge and understanding is that of applied kinesiology, which is, let's call it, a dowsing system by which you can use the muscle response to separate out, again, the closed system and the open system, the circle and the lemniscate, what's going on in the system itself and what's going on in the system boundary. Again, that correlates to the rear brain and the front brain, as we operate in freedom of choice. And there we can then work with resetting the basis, the balance between them. So acupuncture then does that, as a result of which the disturbance which is experienced in the body can be suspended, and the crash or clash which the body was reacting to can be resolved and actually digested, due to which the regulatory system can recalibrate itself and become one whole unit again. Again, it requires that the information is correct, and then the regulatory system can be correct. Then the third system can be remedied, which is that of the body physiology. So that's where the Ayurvedic doctor would then come in and feed the body what it needs, cleanses the body of what it doesn't need, exercises the body in what it needs to affirm or let go of, and as a whole recalibrates the digestive system in, again, separating what needs to stay in the body, what does not need to stay in the body, because in the digestive system of the body, we not only digest food, but we also digest information. So the practices of naturopathy or Ayurveda help the body to restore and recalibrate its physiology. And thereby the organs can then start to reinforce themselves again, instead of being afflicted by a disturbance that we had in the environment. And then as a result, of course, once the information is correct, the regulation is correct, and the physiology is correct, then the body will correct itself as well. But there might be instances that the physiological process of the body could take too long. Some of the physiological cycles of the body, they're not in minutes or hours, but there are days and months and years. So to rebalance those, you might need to actually bridge the gap between the process as it is and the process as it will eventually come again. And that is where you can then use the Western medicine to hold the body in a specific stasis, like clamping it, so that it will be preserved in a stage, like putting it in a refrigerator, so that it can slow down, or that it can not collapse locally because of the collapse which there was in the physiology, which there was because of the collapse in the regulatory system, which was because there was a collapse in the self-image. So while the self-image is restored and the regulation is restored and the physiology is restored, you might need to do something with the body to bridge the time lag that there is between what happens in the body, what happens in the physiology. So that is where you then have a very clear priority in integral healthcare. You start with the spiritual healing, the Far West, then immediately you use the regulatory healing of the Far East. You immediately connect that to the East of the restoring of the balance between the inner and the outer, at the level of body physiology and all of the body processes. And then you do what is necessary to preserve the body so that it does not fall apart or deteriorate by whatever has gone on, so that you can restore that. So this is the essence of integral healthcare. It is very simple. It is based on the same principles that we find in the body. Between the cultures, we can find that the solutions are already there. They're highly developed and very much elaborated. We can also understand that Chinese medicine uses the acupuncture system because they realize that once you got that done, the physiology will take care of itself and the body anatomy will be restored. In India, they realize that sometimes the acupuncture approach and the homeopathy approach is not enough. You actually need to feed or cleanse the body in the between period, so that it can regain its balance. And then the correction of the physical, which is the main aspect of the Western, can be dealt with if needed. So the four forms of healing actually connect all of the four world cultures. The healing therapy of the Far West is found worldwide. All cultures have it. The Far East is thousands of years old, and it has an incredibly long time record of effectivity. The healing of the East likewise has thousands of years of practice. Naturopathy is hundreds of years in the West as well, and the medicine of the West is basically new. It sort of started after Middle Ages, and even though it is hailed at the best, certainly it has a very good view on what happens at the body level, and they're very good at understanding the laws of dead matter, and they are very good at fixing things and measuring things and repairing things. But what they always forget is that they're not dealing with a body. They're dealing with a colony of living cells. The cells communicate with each other. That we call the physiology. The cells, they have their regulation, their decisions that they take. We call that the regulatory system. And the cells are always aware of what's going on. We call that consciousness. So for me, it is logical to combine all of them. For example, in the setting of a hospital, you would have the doctors as we now know them in the West to do their specific things. They're good at that. They know precisely what they can do. And they also know the risks in doing it. But there is a need to change the cuisine of the hospital by Ayurvedic medicine. It is no longer acceptable to use the kind of food that hospitals provide, because it needs to be cheap and based on some strange notion of what you should eat. It is not about eating fluids or fats or carbohydrates, which they would call energy. The food also needs to contain vitamin minerals. It also needs to contain trace elements. It also needs to have all kind of aromatic elements. It needs to have color pigments in there. And Ayurvedic medicine knows that. So once you replace the hospital kitchen by the Ayurvedic medicine, then basically every meal, every individual will have their specifically tailor-made cuisine to help them with the recovery by reconnecting the internal process by the external process. In the hospital, the regulatory system would be taken care of by all of the nursing staff and also the anesthesiologist. The anesthesiologist can use the acupuncture for the anesthesia. It's already long known that that works very well. But the nurses can also take care that they can use touch for health and other techniques while they're washing, while they're bathing, while they're helping people to recalibrate the points of contact of the body within the environment. It's called rebalancing the meridians, as a result of which they are able to find their own processing and their own selfness within that strange environment of the hospital. They know that they can trust what's going on because they feel good within themselves, because they have been rebalanced within their own meridian system. And then, of course, the spiritual health care is basically practiced by the pastors, but everybody who's in the administrative offices, everybody who's cleaning the hospital, that's where you have the notion that the hospital is a temple. And once people realize that they are in a temple and their body knows that they're in a place of sanctity, integrity of identity, and a place of universal experience, then something in them can relax at a deep level. And that trust is essential for them to be able to take the decision to be comfortable and confident in the place that they are, as a result of which our body will reflect that by being relaxed and open in its processing itself, as a result of which the healing can take place. So for me, this is the essence of integral healthcare. Our body shows how the forms of healing of the West, the East, the Far East and the Far West are essentially those of the head, the heart, the hara and the holy bone. So that means that the West operates from a model of thought, the East operates from a model of feeling, the Far East operates from a model of action and interaction, and the Far West operates from a model of being. So the more you understand the simplicity of the complexity, then you can always find how these forms of healthcare correspond with the processes that take place in the body, because evidently any form of healing can be as good only as it is understood by the body cells. It doesn't matter if the doctor understands it, it doesn't matter if the patient understands it. What needs to happen is that the body organs and the body cells understand it, because it needs to be in their language and it needs to be a reminder for them to restore and regain their own identity and integrity on community by their communication. So maybe that's where I can then round off this summary of integral healthcare. For me, the power of integral healthcare lies in the combination of the spiritual with the regulatory medicine, with the physiological medicine, with the anatomical medicine. It respects all of them equally. It's like having four tools in a toolbox, or like having the bricklayer, the carpenter, the plumber and the electrician to build the house. But now it is in that combination for the rebuilding of the temple that is your body.